Now, I wanted to focus on verse 17 here in Daniel, where the Bible read, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Now, I actually believe this verse very literally. I believe that Daniel was given wisdom. He was given understanding. He was given skill in all learning. Not just the things of the Bible, but in every area of life. This guy was very skillful. This guy was very wise. I mean, the king looked at this guy and said, he's 10 times better than all the other guys. And they were learning the same subjects. They were all being educated in the wisdom of the Chaldeans. But I think that Daniel was given the knowledge from God in all learning and wisdom. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 36, if you would. I think this is an interesting verse. But today, how do people get wisdom? How do they get knowledge? How do they get understanding? A lot of people go to school. They go to some place where they teach something. Or they go to some church. Or they go all kinds of different places, and they're learning from other people. But look at Exodus 36, verse 1. "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded." It's interesting, this guy Bezalel, he was given cunning skill and work by God to make all kinds of things in the sanctuary, to create the Ark of the Covenant, to create all kinds of, you know, curtains, to create all these wonderful things that were going to be the sanctuary. God gave him skill and understanding how to create those things, how to make those things, how to be skillful. And we see that skill actually comes from God. Knowledge and stuff come from God, not just the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of this world. And the title of my sermon tonight is college necessary? Is college necessary? Now, a lot of people, they go to college, they learn a lot of things. Maybe they go to school, they learn a lot of things. But is it really necessary? Is it really necessary? Was it necessary for Daniel to learn the wisdom of Chaldeans to get all that knowledge and skill? Was it because he was studying the wisdom of the Chaldeans and their information that he became really wise? No, the Bible says God gave him that understanding. God gave him that skill. And we see there was a lot of other people learning that wisdom. There was all these children. They're all learning the same subjects. But he found Daniel 10 times wiser. Why was Daniel 10 times wiser? Why did he have more knowledge? Why did he have more understanding? It wasn't because of the schooling that he was getting. And if you look up college in a dictionary, it's defined as an educational institution or establishment. So even though it wasn't really a college that Daniel and these guys went to, it was just a learning institution. Right. It was just a place where they were going to learn the wisdom of the Chaldeans. But the question is it really necessary? But today, kids are growing up and they're just being brainwashed and just said, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. Right. I mean, 4 and 5 year olds, hey, you don't want to do like that. You want to be able to go to college someday. You can't get out of school because you got to go to college someday. Hey, you got to start saving money now to go to college someday. You see all the billboards. They're like, you got to go to college. Go to college. I saw one college billboard that said, it'll change everything. I mean, there's all these billboards that say, you got to go to college. You got to go get a degree. You got to get these things. My question is it necessary? Now, it's interesting because when I was talking with some of my family, and we were talking about just kids and talking about family, I had one kid at the time, I believe. I can't remember if I was pregnant or not, but we were talking about having more kids. And they said, so how many kids are you going to have? You know, 2, 3, not like 4. And I was like, we're just going to keep going. We're just going to have a kid and kid and kid. And they're like, whoa, how are you going to afford college? That was like the first thing that came to their mind. Of me just saying, I want to have a lot of kids. Their first thing is, well, how are you going to afford college? And I said, really point blank, I said, look, I don't care if my kids go to college or not. I only care if they get saved and they go to church and they're living for God. Amen. I care way more about that than them ever going to some college. I don't really care if they go some college. But it was like I killed the sacred cow. I mean, they freaked out. They were like, you don't care about college? I mean, that's everything. How are they ever going to succeed? How are they going to do anything great with their life? And they make it where college is so necessary. Mm-hmm. They make it where college is just a requirement to be a good person, or to make money, or to have a good life. But I have 8 reasons why I think Daniel got knowledge and skill from God. And let's see, is college necessary to get those things? Because I think there's a lot of principles in the Bible of how you get wisdom, of how you get skill, of how you get knowledge. And that's what Daniel probably applied himself to actually get that skill and that learning. It wasn't just from his own understanding or going to this school. No, it's from God's word. Turn, if you would, to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. I looked up some statistics. There was a career builder website that I looked up. And it said that they surveyed several workers in the workplace in America. They said that 47% of college graduates did not find a first job that was related to their college major. They're saying, look, these people are graduating from college and with some type of degree, doesn't matter what it is, and then the next job they get has nothing to do with that degree. Yeah. It didn't even help them. It's saying almost half of the people going to college, they didn't even get a job that had anything to do with their degree. It says that only 56% of students even earn degrees within 6 years. So of all the people that actually start going to college, only 56% of them even have a degree after 6 years of going, which most schools are like a four-year college or maybe a two-year program. So after 6 years, you're probably not going to do it. You're probably not going to finish. There was a person in my family, I think they graduated in like 7 or 8 years. So they're kind of an anomaly to that statistic. But I think the first way that we gain skill, the way we gain knowledge is through reading. It's through reading. Look at Exodus 24, verse 7. It says that he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. So notice, he said he read in the audience of the people. How is anybody going to hear the word of God if you can't read it to them? Right. If you can't even read it for yourself, how are you going to share the word of God? And you know, I think in my early days, you know, if someone asked me, do you enjoy reading? I would have said no. I even think I took a word as a badge of honor. I said, you know what, I just like watching TV, I like playing video games, I like getting on the computer. And I kind of looked at reading as kind of just entertainment. You know, well, some people like to read, I like to play video games. Some people like to read, I'll go play outside. But reading is crucial to education. Reading is crucial to getting wisdom. Reading is crucial to getting skill. How are you going to ever learn God's word? How are you going to get the knowledge of the truth if you can't even read it? Reading is the most foundational part of getting any kind of education, of having any understanding, of having any knowledge. Right. You got to be able to read. Yeah. It's so important, so foundational. But I hope that people aren't starting to learn how to read when they get into college. I mean, you need to be able to read much younger than that. I mean, children should be learning how to read from their parents. From an early age, they should be instructed on how to read. And a lot of times people, they just take for granted that their kids can't read. They take for granted that maybe school will teach them or somebody else will do it. And they don't teach them. And there's a lot of people today that are just poor readers. Maybe they could sound out the sounds, they could make the words, but then they have no comprehension. They can just read something and it just goes one, just they say it, but they didn't hear it. They don't even understand what they just said. They're just parroting. Go to Matthew chapter 21. The Bible says in Joshua, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings. It says in Matthew 12, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, but he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered? He was rebuking them for not reading. In Matthew 12 it says, same thing, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for not reading, because reading is important. Look at verse 16 in verse 21 in chapter 21. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith to them, yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. What a shame, what an embarrassment to say you're a master of Israel, you're a master of God, and you hadn't even read some part of the Bible. Not even, you never read it. He's like, I just don't understand. You guys must just have never read the Bible because I keep giving you Bible and you have no idea what I'm saying. So either they read it and they didn't even understand it, or they just never read it. But either way, they're not getting any knowledge. They're not getting any wisdom because they're not reading. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you would. It says in Ephesians 3, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God wants us to understand what we read, too. He doesn't want us to just be able to look at the page and see some text on it. He actually wants us to understand it. That's the point of reading, is to understand what it says. It seems like such a basic point, but there's a lot of people that can't even understand what they're reading. In Revelation 1, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein." In Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 18, the Bible says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." So the Bible is talking about the king of Israel. He's saying, look, if y'all rebel against me and you set up a king in the future, the king should write him a book, and he needs to read it every single day of his life. He's saying the king needs to read the word of God. Well, go ahead and flip to Revelation, if you would. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. It's interesting because I'll read verse 20 from you from that. It says, "That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." We read the Bible to keep us humble. We read the Bible so we can know how to live a good life, how we can prolong our lives, how we can do good things. Look at Revelation 1, verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God." So we're kings. So if I'm a king, and he's saying, hey, kings need to read the Bible every single day in their life so they'll be humble, that's talking to you. That's talking to me. He wants us to read the Bible every day in our lives. It's not just for the one special guy that's the king of Israel. No, he's made us kings and priests in the New Testament, and we're supposed to read the Bible so we're not lifted up in pride, that we can be humble. But the question is college necessary for reading? I mean, do you have to go to college to be able to learn how to read? No, I hope not. I hope that from a young child you learn how to read. I hope your parents can show you how to read. They can show you the Bible. That you can get a lot of books and then you can read through them. That's so important. It has nothing to do with going to college. Right. Now, of course, I would say that in college a lot of people are encouraged to read other books. They're encouraged to read certain things. But is it necessary? Is it really necessary to go to some institution to read books? Yeah. No. And many times the books that they're recommending aren't very good. That if you actually just go online or you go somewhere else, you can find better books. And a lot of times, I experience this a lot. When you go to college, some brand new textbook comes out where they change like three periods in it, and now it's $150. Whereas last year's edition is like 10 bucks. But you got to go buy the new version. You got to go spend 150 bucks in the bookstore just to get their book. When we shouldn't be concerned with, you know, necessarily happening to go to college to learn. We should learn for ourselves by learning how to read. And reading is such a fundamental thing. It's such a foundational principle that it doesn't matter if you go to college or not. You should learn how to read.
Right.
Reading's important. And you should do a lot of reading in your life to gain wisdom and knowledge. Whether or not Daniel was learning the wisdom of the Chaldeans, it didn't matter. He was going to be reading his Bible, and that's where he got the wisdom. We even know that Daniel read his Bible because later it says that when he was reading about Jeremiah, he found out when they would return into the land.
Yeah.
So we know he was reading his Bible, and he was understanding it.
Yeah.
So it's so important that we read our Bible and we understand it. And you don't have to go to college to learn how to read. You don't have to get some kind of fancy education. You don't have to go to some fancy building. No, but you should be reading your Bible. You should be reading books. That's how you're going to gain wisdom. That's how you're going to gain knowledge. That's how you're going to gain skill. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Go all the way back again. Where we were. I should have told you to keep a finger there. I'll read for you in verse 18. It said, same verse, he said, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon his throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the book." So notice the king's not only supposed to read it, he was supposed to write himself a copy. And we see that writing is another foundational principle to learning. We can go to the Bible and we can learn, hey, reading and writing are important. It's not because the public school says it's important.
Right.
It's not because Barack Obama says it's important. No, God said it was important. God said that we should be able to read, that we should be able to write. That's how you get wisdom. That's how you get knowledge. That's how you grow in skill. And we see what's the whole purpose of people even going to college? Why do people say, hey, what's the point of going to college? They always say, to get a good job.
Right.
To get a good paying job, to get, you know, have a good career. But if you can't read and you can't write, you're never going to have a good career.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to succeed unless you just have a physical manual labor job where you just do no reading and no writing, which I don't even know if it exists today. I think even just the most menial task today, I mean, being a plumber, being an electrician, you still got to be able to read. I mean, the electrician better know what color the wires are and be able to read the panel and be able to, you know, communicate effectively. Reading and writing is crucial to every part of your life.
That's right.
And it's going to help you succeed no matter what job you have. But having a college education, having a piece of paper that says you went to some institution, that's not going to give you wisdom. That's not going to give you knowledge. No, being able to read and be able to write, that is going to give you wisdom. Flip back a couple chapters. Go to Deuteronomy 6. In Exodus 17, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. God wanted Moses to write down what he had told him, so that he could rehearse it in Joshua's ears, so that he could keep giving it to him. If you never write anything down, then you can never read it. So we got to be able to write. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God wanted you to write the word of God on your house. He wants you to have the words everywhere. He doesn't want you to have some fake picture of some faggoty Jesus. No, he wants you to write his words. That says, why don't you write Leviticus 20:13 up there instead? Amen. That would be a lot more glorifying unto the Lord Jesus Christ than some picture of some sodomite that some, you know, Renaissance painter painted. No, we're supposed to be able to write, and we're supposed to be able to write God's word. Go to Deuteronomy 11. Go a couple chapters forward. It says in Deuteronomy 31, now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be witness for me against the children of Israel. We're supposed to read and write well so that we can teach our children how to read and write well. It's very important. I wish that my parents had taken the time to sit me down and to teach me how to read and how to write well at a young age. I know that even when I was in the third grade, that I had to be put in some special class and learn how to read better, because I just couldn't read well. And I had to go to some special program that the whole summer I had to go to school because I had to learn how to read well. And now after getting, you know, a lot of exposure and just getting and reading a lot of books, I became a very good reader. Right. But it just takes practice. Okay. No one just can read and write just out of the womb. Nobody just knows how to write really well-spoken sentences and all these things. And even in high school, I still wasn't a very good writer. I remember I had this history class, and at the end of every single test, there was a written essay. And so you had to kind of answer some questions in this like one or two page essay. And I remember we'd always get our grade, and then the teacher would always ask a few students to read their essay. Somebody that got like 100 or got a really good score. And now I always got 100. I always got the questions right on my essay, but she never asked me to read. And I think one day I was just getting really irritated because somebody like didn't even get all the questions right. They got like a 90 or 95 and they were asked to read. And I said, I got 100. Why do you never ask me to read? And she says, well, you know, you answered all the questions right, but there was a lot of run-on sentences and didn't really make very much sense, and you're just not a good writer. And it kind of was like a shock to me. I was like, oh, man, I need to be a better writer. I thought I was writing really well, but I wasn't writing good sentences. I was making run-on sentences, and I know a lot of times I would get so far ahead of myself in my mind that when I was writing, I would just like leave out a whole phrase of a sentence or something. You know, I would think it, but then I wouldn't let my hand catch up to my mind, and I'd just write all these sentences. I'd go back and read it, and it wouldn't make any sense. I remember one time I asked my dad to proofread a paper I had written, and it was like missing the verb completely. It just said like the cow car, and I was like, you know, it didn't make any sense. It didn't say like the cow went to the car or ran into the car. It didn't say anything. And so he goes, well, where's your verb in the sentence? I said, the cow. Because I was just joking, but it's a real thing that people don't know how to read and write, not because they're unintelligent, not because they're not capable, but because they're not being told to do it, because they're not being instructed by their parents.
Right.
They're not being instructed by anybody. Now the question is, do you really need to go to college to get that instruction? Do you really need somebody to tell you to do it? A lot of times when you go to college, they just expect you to know how to do these things. They don't actually teach you. They just have high requirements.
Yeah.
So you actually have to learn it somewhere else. But it's not important for you to go to college to prove yourself. Go to Psalms chapter 1. But reading and writing is just a shame today. It's just a shame. I'll read for you another place in Exodus. It says, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." So God wrote. Right. I mean, if God's writing, maybe it's important enough to him.
Right.
Even in the New Testament, when it's talking about Jesus Christ, and it's talking about the woman that was taken in adultery, it says that he was writing in the sand. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament and the God in the Old Testament, same God, he was a writer. He was someone who wrote. And I even looked up some statistics. It said in 1994, they did a study about the literacy of adults in America. And then they compared that with 2012. And they found out that people had declined in literacy. That the adults in America had become less intelligent, less literacy. And even in numeracy is what they call it. Just math skills, just the skills of being able to read and being able to study math and these type of things and perform calculations, they were getting worse. But if you look at how many people are being enrolled in college, it's only gone up. So we have more people going to college, but then less people can read and write. And I would blame a lot of different things, maybe technology, maybe TV, maybe movies. But the thing is, people aren't getting in their Bible and seeing how important it is to read and to write and learning, hey, I need to learn to write because the Bible said so. I don't need to go to some college to learn because there's more people going and they're not learning.
Right.
I mean, it's an epidemic today. How many people can't spell? I mean, just spelling. I was working for this one guy recently. I don't work there anymore, but my boss, if it was more than a four-letter word, he couldn't spell it right. I mean, he would spell it differently every time. If you take the word independent, sometimes you spell it with an A, sometimes you spell it with like no D. I mean, it was just a shame. And, you know, the guy was really smart. He was a really good programmer. He was a really nice guy. But it's really hard to have respect unto somebody that can't even spell. That can't even spell a simple word. It's understandable. Hey, a word you've never seen or some big word. Maybe you might spell it a little funny. But, I mean, we're talking about every single sentence. This guy could not spell. And working in the programming world, you're writing code constantly. It's important to be able to read and write. So that you can understand what's on the computer screen, understand your code, understand the comments. I mean, even one character off in programming can make a huge difference. It can change the whole program. It's very important to be able to read and write. I had you turn to Psalms 1. This is my third point. Look at verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." My third point is that we should be memorizing. Memorization is a key and a skill to always having more knowledge, being very skillful. Not just memorizing the Bible, but memorization in your everyday life. Being able to memorize things and to keep things retained in your knowledge is going to help you succeed in the workplace.
Right.
Make sure to learn how to memorize. And I think one of the best ways to get this skill is by memorizing God's Word. If you can learn how to memorize God's Word, it'll change your Bible reading. It'll change your study in the Bible. But it'll also give you the skills to learn how to memorize other things. To memorize things in your job. I mean, going back to our example of the electrician, he's got to remember which color wires go to where. He's got to remember what circuits. He's got to remember what amp, you know, go to what other kind of gauge wires. He's got to keep a lot of things in his head. He can't just always be looking it up or wondering what to do. It doesn't matter what job you have, memorization is always going to be key.
That's right.
There's a lot of jobs that rely on it. Whether you're a doctor, whether you're an emergency medical. I mean, would you feel really good if the doctor showed up and it was your surgery and he said, "Well, I really forget what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go look it up in the textbook real quick and then I'll come back and keep performing the surgery." No, you want this guy to know what he's doing.
Right.
You want this guy to be able to retain stuff in his mind. And being able to train and exercise your mind with meditation is going to help you in your everyday life. But do you really have to go to college to learn how to memorize something? Do you really have to go to school to learn how to memorize? Now, there is some classes. I know that there was an art history class at the college that I went to where they emphasized memorization. I mean, the guy that was the professor there, he would just sit there and just repeat the same facts over and over. He'd just say a fact about some artist or some fact about a painting. He'd just say it like 10 times over and over and over and over. And it got to the point where everybody just memorized it, whether they wanted to or not. I mean, if you just get up and somebody's just saying the same thing over and over and over, whether you like it or not, you're going to memorize it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many songs have you heard that you didn't even try? I mean, you're not even trying to memorize this thing, and you know all the lyrics. You know the chorus. Songs you hate. Yeah, I mean, there's so many songs that I hate that I know the lyrics to, not because I wanted to, but just because I heard it over and over and over. It's important to memorize God's word. It's important to get the skill of memorization so that you can succeed, so that you can have skill. I believe that Daniel, he meditated on these things. He meditated on a lot of things. He had the skill of meditation, and that's why God gave him a lot of wisdom, gave him a lot of knowledge through his meditation. Go to Psalms 119, if you would. I'll read for you another place. It says in Psalms 119:15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, I know as a little kid, I always wondered, these verses kind of mystified me. Because I was like, well, how do you memorize something all day? Like, how do you, you know, this says pray without ceasing and memorize. But the thing is when you get God's word in your heart, when you have it memorized, it can be on your mind all the day. There can be all kinds of parts of the day that verses are just coming into your mind, that you're just meditating on it, that it'll just interject into your thoughts. That's how you get it. When you love His law and you're studying His law and you're memorizing His word, it can be with you all day. Whether or not you have your Bible out or not, you can just be thinking about the word of God. It's so important. It'll change your life. But let's go to Psalm 78. So my first 3 points, reading, writing, memorization. I think these are just foundational. They're just very basic, but they're so important. And now I think that colleges, for the most part, they attempt to lift up these points. They say, well, you know, it's important to read, it's important to write, it's important to memorize. Some of the classes may emphasize certain, you know, things like writing or reading. But you don't have to go to college to learn those things. There's a lot of people that are very educated that can read very well that never went to college. That can write very well that never went to college. That can memorize great things and never went to college. It's not necessary. But my last 5 points, I think college just fails at it. I mean, the things that God tells us of how to get skill, of how to get knowledge, that college just utterly fails at. And the fourth point is listening to parents. Hearkening unto your parents is one way that you'll get a lot of wisdom, a lot of skill in this life. In Colossians 3, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us. Look, it's important for the fathers to have the wisdom and the understanding so they can tell their children. And then the children need to listen to it.
Right.
But so many times kids go to college, they're not their fathers around. Their mother's not around. They're not hearkening under their parents anymore. They're just hearkening under their own heart's desires. They're just hearkening under whatever their professors are saying, or their friends are saying, or whatever. They're not getting any more instruction from their parents.
Right.
And unless you're married, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife. It doesn't say, go to college to leave your father and mother. No, it says, because you get married. That would be the reason why you would leave your parents. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says in Proverbs 1, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 4:1 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Look at verse 4 of 1 Timothy 5. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now a lot of people would think, well, I'm married, so I don't have to listen to my parents anymore. I shouldn't even respect them. But it's saying, look, if a widow, meaning she was married, so she was with her husband somewhere else, and then he died, she's supposed to go back under her parents. And she's supposed to require her parents. She's supposed to have respect under her parents.
Right.
But we see a lot of people, once they go to college, that's done. Done deal. I don't want to listen to my parents. I don't want to hearken unto them. Now, I'm not saying if your parents are just unsaved that you should just, you know, forsake the laws of God, or you could go into sin. But you should still have respect in your parents, and a lot of times they can have good wisdom. Because they've had children. Because they've gone through life. Maybe they struggled. Maybe they've They've seen the error of their ways and they can give you wisdom. We should still have respect under our parents. But I think college utterly fails this. So many kids, they want to go to college because they won't be under their parents' rule.
Right.
Because they won't be getting any more instruction. Because they won't be getting any more reproof. They want the freedom. They don't want to listen to anything they have to say. Go to Leviticus 19, if you would. Proverbs chapter 23, I'll say, "Hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." So the Bible says, look, even when your parents get old, you should still have respect unto them. You shouldn't despise your parents. You should still hearken unto them. The wisdom and the instruction they're going to give you. Again, I'm not saying go against what the Bible says, but I'm saying you should still have respect in your parents even when they're old. The Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. There's a lot of mothers today that are shamed today because of what their sons did in college.
Right.
And you know, if I were to be honest about myself, the worst years of my life were in college. If you're talking about morality,
right.
You're talking about living for God, doing the right thing. I was doing all kinds of sin.
Right.
If my mom knew what I was doing, she would have been so embarrassed. She would have been so ashamed of what I'd done in my life. Because a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. And people, these young kids, these 18 and 19 and 20 year olds going to college, they're still children.
Yeah.
They're not some grown up adult because they turned 18.
Right.
They're not just a man because they turned 18. No, they still need to be respectful unto their parents. They need to hearken to the instruction of their father and mother. Because when you're that young, you think you're invincible. You think you're so wise. And you're just going to bring a lot of shame unto your parents if they know what you do. Look at Leviticus 19 verse 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." Look, we're supposed to have respect unto the elderly, unto the old man. We're supposed to honor the face of the old man. So I think the fourth point I had is that a lot of people, they're just not hearkening to their parents because they go off to college. You go to some independent old Baptist church today, you go to all these churches, there's no college kids there. They're all in college.
Right.
I mean, they're just gone. There's just this gap between 17-year-olds and like 30-year-olds.
Right.
I mean, there's just like no one. Because they don't want to hearken to the instruction of their father. But go to John chapter 7. The fifth point, the fifth way I think that the Bible tells us how we can get skill and how we can get knowledge is by the Holy Spirit teaching you. Is by God teaching you. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, "But the anointing which you received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all of the Bible. You don't need a man. He's saying, look, is it necessary to have a man? No! So is college necessary to have the Holy Spirit teach you? No! Is college necessary for you to hearken unto your parents? No, in many ways it takes you away from that. Go to verse 14 of John chapter 7. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." We see the Jews, they were mocking Jesus, saying, "How does this guy know anything? He didn't go to college. He didn't get a four-year degree. How can he know anything?" Because the Holy Spirit taught the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God gave the Spirit without measure unto him.
Right.
In John chapter 16 it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit can teach you all wisdom. He can teach you all knowledge. He can teach you the Bible. You don't need to go to college to learn the things of God. You don't need to go to some Bible college to learn of the Bible. Just let the Holy Spirit teach you.
Amen.
Just get in your Bible. Do the reading. Do the writing. Do the memorization. Hearken unto your parents. And let the Holy Spirit teach you God's Word.
Amen.
That's how you're going to get skills. That's how you're going to get the wisdom. That's how you're going to get knowledge. I'll go to Ephesians 3 if you would. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, and the deep things of God." God reveals us things unto us by His Spirit. And if you go to Ephesians 3, look at verse 4. "Whereby, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So we understand the Bible by reading it and having the Holy Spirit teach us, by giving us the wisdom and the understanding. But you're not going to get that if you don't read. You're not going to get that if you're not saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. But you're not going to ever get that in college. Is college necessary to teach you the Bible? No, what's necessary is to be saved, amen, to read it, and have the Holy Spirit teach you. That's right. That's how you're going to get the wisdom. That's how you're going to get the knowledge. Go to Genesis chapter 30. My sixth point is that we learn by doing. James chapter 1 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." It's so true that as the day is long, that no matter how much you study something, no matter how much you read it, if you don't actually do it, you're going to forget. This is so true. I played piano like my whole life. My parents always forced me. From age 5, I played piano when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way into high school. And I remember every year I was like, "Can I please quit? Can I please quit? I don't want to play piano anymore. Please let me quit." And I think I just wore on my mom just over and over. And finally, like, I think I was like 15, she just said, "You don't have to play anymore. Your teacher's kind of done with you. She says that your skill level's not really increasing with her anymore. We'd have to find you another teacher." So she just let me quit. And that was a bad decision on her part. I wish she had just forced me to keep going. But now today, if I try to go play the piano, I can't do it very well. I struggle. Why? Because I haven't been doing it anymore and I forget it. Yeah. Because anything that you've learned, no matter how well you've learned it, you're gonna lose it. Either use it or you lose it.
Amen.
Now, of course, if you did it for a long time, if you're really good at it, it'll come back quicker. I mean, some people say it's like riding a bike. But even somebody that's not ridden a bike for 10 years, they're going to be a little wobbly at first.
Right.
They're probably going to make some mistakes. They're not going to be as good as they were. They probably can't go as fast. And, you know, even with piano, it's way worse. I mean, I basically came all the way back down to the level of just everybody that's never played the piano. It's just like, hey, I'm just banging on it like everybody else. But if you're not doing it, you're never going to learn it. Look at a Genesis 30, verse 27. "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Laban learned by experience. Is college necessary for you to learn by experience? No, many times you go to the classroom and you just theorize what it's like to do the work. You just learn from somebody that doesn't even actually do the work themselves. You're just learning, hey, this is what you're kind of supposed to do, or this is what people do, or this is what it's supposed to be like. But you don't actually do the work. I mean, people that go to become a doctor, they spend 4 or 5 years learning stuff in the classroom. Right. They don't do any work. Right. You say, how long have you been studying to be a doctor? 5 years. Well, what do you know? I know a lot of biology and anatomy. Well, could you do anything? No. It's not, they're not learning anything by experience. They're not learning anything by doing. You could sit a guy in a classroom and teach him 8 hours a day for several years on how to plumb and how to do electrical work. But if they've never actually done it, I guarantee they're not going to be a very good plumber. They're not going to be a very good electrician. But if you actually train them on how to be a plumber or an electrician by experience, or someone that builds houses or builds fences or do any kind of work, they're going to be really good after 4 or 5 years. They're going to know it great, because it's not learning in a classroom that's the best way to learn. It's learning by experience. It's being a doer of the work. Now, of course, that's not to forsake your reading. That's not to forsake your memorization. And even memorization, you got to be a doer of the memorization. Because there's a lot of passages in the Bible where I memorized it, and I could quote it, and I could do word perfect, but then I just stopped. I didn't quote it for a long time. It's been a while. And I can't quote it now. Why? Because I'm not doing it. And even if being a soul winner, I remember one week when I was early doing soul winning, I stopped going soul winning for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I had all the verses memorized that I used out soul winning before that. And when I got there, I wasn't sharp anymore. I wasn't sharp as a two-edged sword. I couldn't quote all the verses that I usually would give. I was stumbling. I was struggling to go through it. Why? Because I wasn't doing it. And if you're not doing it, you're going to lose it. There's no middle ground. Jesus said, "He that not gathereth with me is scattering abroad." If you're not doing the work, you're actually going against. And if you're not, you know, just like getting muscles. I mean, you could work out your whole life and then quit for 2 years, and it's going to be like you never worked out. Right. Why? Because everything is either going, you're either going in one direction or the other. There's no neutral middle ground. Look at, go to John chapter 9. I'll read for you one of the places that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus Christ learned obedience by suffering. By going through and doing the suffering, by tempting, being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he actually learned. Because we learn from experience. It's one of the best teachers. You can't teach like experience. You can't, I mean, you can tell your kid, hey, don't put your hand in the fire. You can tell them 1,000 times, don't put your hand in the fire, don't put your hand in the fire. And then what do? They just put their hand in the fire. But the first time they burn themselves, oh man, they're never going to put their hand back in the fire. Why? Because experience is one of the best teachers. You can express, oh, I can explain soul winning to somebody over and over, and they probably won't ever get it. But they go out and do it, and now they're a good soul winner. Why? Because you learn by experience. But my seventh point is that we have to learn from someone who actually does the work too. And when you go to college, you're not learning from people that usually do the work. You're learning from people that never did the work. They just studied about it. I mean, you go to school and you learn about somebody. I got a business management degree, and I'm learning from people that haven't owned a business. They've never been a manager. They've never been in any kind of a position in a business. It's like, what in the world are you going to teach me? You didn't even do it yourself. They were just in school their whole life and became a professor, and they're just going to teach you what the book says, and they don't even know what it means. Why? Because if you're not a doer of the work, you're not going to understand it at all. Mm-hmm. Look at John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Why is Jesus Christ our best example? Because he did the work. Why was he so effective at teaching his disciples? Because he did the work. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. He said in John 14, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I mean, he worked night and day. He was constantly doing the work. That's why he was such a good instructor, because he was doing the work. But is it necessary to go to college to learn from these people? No, I think college fails at that. Many times these college professors are not successful business leaders and successful businessmen and successful in their occupation. Because if they were, then they'd be in the occupation making a lot of money. They're not going to take a big pay cut to go teach a bunch of bratty kids that are on their cell phones all day and aren't going to read the material, aren't going to do the writing. They don't want to do that. No, they're just going to stay in their business and make a lot of money. It's the failed people that go. The people that never really did well, that don't want to do the work, they're the ones that are the teachers oftentimes. And I'm not saying there's not a good teacher out there. I'm just trying to speak in generalities. But it's so true if you go to college. And I took a lot of college courses, and it was very true of all the teachers that I had. But look at Paul. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Why was Paul such a good instructor to Timothy, to Titus, to Philemon, to all these people? Because he was a doer of the work. And he said that he had not labored in vain. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 if you would. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. But Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People seeing you do the work, people seeing you work hard, it's contagious. Yeah. It gets people, you know, excited. Even in the workplace. If you're doing the work, if you're working hard, it's going to encourage other people. They're going to see your other works. They're going to get excited. They might learn something from you. Do you really want to go to the workplace and learn from the guy that just sits on his phone and just waits till it's 4:59 to leave the building? I mean, he doesn't really do any work, takes a 2-hour lunch, comes in late. No. You want to learn from the guy that showed up at 6 a.m. He's been working super hard. He's getting the job done. His boss is really pleased with him. Hey, why don't you teach me how to learn? Right. And we should learn from the people that work hard. That's going to give you skill. That's going to give you knowledge. And if you really want to get a good job, it's not the piece of paper that matters. It's having skills. Why do so many people graduate from college and they struggle to get that first job? It's because they have no skill. Skill is the key to getting a good job.
Yeah.
Why? I want a good job for the Lord. Well, get some skill. Why don't you memorize the Word? Why don't you read the Word? Why don't you be able to write the Word? Hey, I want to be used greatly by God. Well, get some skill. And you know what? He'll make simple the wise. You don't have to start out with anything. Just apply God's principles, and He'll give you the wisdom. He'll make you 10 times better than all the other people. And college isn't necessary to get you there. I don't even recommend college for a lot of reasons. I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to college or it's a sin or it's bad, but I think in a lot of ways that going to college is probably not the best decision. It's probably foolish. Yeah. And there's some degrees that require a college degree. I mean, I think, you know, if you're going to be an accountant, or if you're going to be an engineer, or if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be a lawyer, I mean, you basically have to have a degree to get one of these positions. And so if you want to get a job that's a very skilled position that requires some certification or some kind of education, go for it. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but most degrees today, oh, I'm going to study history, I'm going to study literary sciences, I'm going to study, you know, all these things that don't have any value. They don't have any skills. You graduate from college and like, what can you offer me? Well, you know, I went there. I got this piece of paper. That's why they're struggling to get a job, because they have no skill. And even in the career that I have today, I worked as a software developer. It really doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter what you learned. It matters zero. They only care, what do you know? What can you do? Can you work in this language? Can you program this? Have you ever done this technology? Can you implement this? I mean, you go get a job as an electrician, do they really care if you went to college? No, they don't care. They say, hey, you know electricity? Oh yeah, I know everything about gauges and the amps, and I know all the wires, and I've wired all kinds of buildings, and I know all the codes. I know the codes for Phoenix, and I know the codes of the federal regulations. That guy's, hey, this guy's skilled, let's get him a job. But the guy, oh, I got a degree in beer pong. You know, I got a degree in like studying, you know, something stupid, some hippie science, some evolution. No, that's not going to ever get you a job. Hey, I know everything about evolution. Good luck getting a job. I'll see you at McDonald's when I get a burger. I mean, having skill is what gives you jobs. We should be focused on getting skill and wisdom and learning, and then God will bless us. You're going to be way more successful in this life by getting skills and knowledge and learning than ever just chasing some degree or chasing some piece of paper. I got a degree in management. I mean, what was that? It was just worthless. It was worthless as a piece of paper that was written on. If I had just gone straight into the workforce and got a job in the career that I'm in now, I would be way better off. The guy that I worked for at my last company, making tons of money, never went to college. Didn't go. He couldn't even spell, but he was really skilled in programming. I mean, he had at least one thing right. And you know, if you do, you apply yourself to God's wisdom, if you apply yourself to God's learning and knowledge, then you'll be successful. Why do people struggle to make money or have a good job or provide? It's because they have no skill. It's because they have no skills. You go, well, what can you do? Well, and they just struggle. That's why they go into the workforce and have a bad job, because they're just like everybody else. There's no distinction. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked at Daniel, he said, this guy's 10 times better than all the rest. Why? Because he's applying himself unto God's wisdom, God's knowledge. So my eighth point is that we need to be able to provide for our family. But do you need to go to college to provide for your family? Actually, my first roommate that I went to school with, he started in college. And he was one of the statistics where after 6 years he didn't have a degree. Because he just went one semester and then he gave it up and just went straight into sales. Now, if he went straight into sales, he was making like $50,000 or $60,000 a year his first year. I mean, that's decent money. Right. That's good enough money to provide for a family or provide. I mean, especially when it was like 10 plus years ago, back when we didn't have all this Obamacare and all this junk, you know, weighing down and causing us to have no money, destroying the middle class. But you don't have to have a college degree to even make decent money. And by the time I graduated, he was making even more. He was probably making like $80,000 or $90,000 a year in this sales job, where he had a lot of skill, where he had a lot of knowledge about all the equipment that he sold. He knew a lot about tractor equipment, about heavy machinery. He was very well versed. He had a lot of skill in what he was doing. And you know, when I got a job, I had this paper that said I had a degree, and I had no skills. Right. I mean, they were like, well, I guess you can work at this bank job, where, you know, anybody off the street can basically work there. And I was making like $30,000. Now tell me why in the world someone would go pay a whole bunch of money to get a worse job and have no skills. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And if anybody had any love for me, they would have said, hey, don't go to college and get a worthless degree. And so many degrees in college are just worthless. But kids just want to go to college, why? So they can go drink, so they can go fornicate, so they can get away from their parents, so they can be away from God. so they can get just live in sin.
That's right.
They're not going to get a good job or get an education. Don't believe the lies. College is the biggest whore there ever is. They're just taking in money and selling kids sex.
Amen.
Just selling kids on beer pong, selling kids on just living it up, just getting away from all their life and responsibilities.
Right.
That's not what you should do. And I'm not saying that getting an education or learning is wrong. I think it's great. But don't go to this college because you think it's just going to automatically give you a good job. No. If you actually want a good job, you got to get some skills. Get skills by learning how to read. Get skills by learning how to write. How to memorize. Hearken unto your parents. Follow God's commandments. Do what He said. Learn by doing. It's way more important to just get job experience.
Yeah.
Learn some kind of skill. That's why the people that make good money, they're very skilled. Somebody off the street can't do their job. They can't do their job in 2 weeks. They can't do their job in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even do their job in a year. This person has 4 or 5 years experience or 10 years experience. They're very skilled. And you can't just take someone off the street. That would be a good career. If I was going to give somebody some advice about how to have a good career, pick something that's going to be very skilled. Something that somebody off the street can't just do. And it doesn't mean you have to have super high level of, you know, intelligence as far as just in the wisdom of this world. Like, being a computer programmer, some people say, well, I'm just not that smart. It's not that hard. Anybody can do it. But even if just being a plumber, being an electrician, being a carpenter, do something that has skill. Something that somebody can look at and say, hey, that's not something just anybody off the street could do. That's what kind of job, that's what kind of career you should look for. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where I had you turn. It says, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
The Bible makes it clear that we're supposed to work hard so that we can eat, so that we can provide for our family. But why in the world would I want to work twice as hard to make less money? Why would I want to work 60 and 70 hours a week to not even make as much money as some guy that works 40 or 50 hours a week? Because I would rather spend my time, you know, with my family, or going to church, or going soul winning. I would rather spend more time working for the Lord.
Amen.
And the only way I'm going to eat is if I do some real work, go out, you know, into the job workforce and do something. So I'd rather have a skill where I don't have to work as hard as the guy that's, well, to be able to provide, I got to work 80 hours a week because I got a general studies degree and nobody will give me a job because I have no skills. And I can't read well, and I can't write well, and I didn't hearken to my parents. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll finish there. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. The Bible makes it clear that we shouldn't, you know, necessarily desire to go to college. You say, well, if you go to college, you can get one of these, you know, $500,000 jobs or $1 million jobs, one of these big things. I'm not looking to get super rich, but at the same time, I don't want to go work for $8 an hour. I don't want to go clean toilets for $5 an hour. I would rather work a job where I'm actually going to get paid a decent wage, a wage that I can actually see my family and spend time with them. So I'm going to get a job that has some skill. And the Bible says, give me neither poverty nor riches, is what the words of Agar said. I think that's wise words.
Amen.
I want to get a job where I'm not going to just be poor. I don't want to just struggle and have to work 80 and 90 hours a week just to get by. I'd rather have a job where I can actually, you know, live a life with my family. I can spend time with others. I can go to church. I can read the Bible. I can go out soul winning. I don't want to just struggle. And I'm not saying that you should try to get all this wisdom and skill and knowledge so you can get super rich. But if you just work really hard and you have a lot of skill, you'll make good enough money to provide. And then you can focus on the things of God. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, remove me far from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. So our hearts aren't supposed to be desirous of getting all this money. But that's why people go to college and say, well, if you go to college, you get more money, you'll get a good job. Look, you can make plenty of money without ever going to college. Is college necessary to provide for your family? No. I know tons of people that make plenty of money, that can provide for their family, that never went to college. It's not necessary. Is college necessary for you to learn how to read, to write, to memorize, to hearken to the instruction of your parents, for the Holy Spirit to teach you, to learn from experience, to learn from, you know, people that actually do the work, to be able to provide for your family? No, it's not necessary.
Right.
So we need to get a different mentality in our mind and say, hey, I'm not focused on the fact that my kids have to go to college, that I just have to go to college. Now, I'm not saying that it would be a sin or it's wrong. Hey, if you want to learn more, if you want to be educated, if you want to go learn something, go do it. I think it'd be great to go to a school and learn, you know, Spanish, learn how to speak Spanish, or to learn, you know, more history, or to be a better communicator. I think those are good things to do. But I should go there with a purpose. I should go there for a skill in mind, a skill that I'm going to use. I'm not going to go there and learn, you know, some dead language. I'm not going to go there and learn some language that nobody speaks, that I'm never going to use. It's going to be worthless. But most degrees today are just worthless. People are just going, just throwing all this money away on loans and student loans. And guess what? They can't get a job because they have no skill. Nobody taught them that skill is what's important. God gave Daniel a lot of skill in all knowledge, in all wisdom. Look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 16. Who feed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto his fathers, that it is this day. God is the one that gives us the power to even make any money. It's not college, but people worship college like it's some god. Like that's going to give them the career. That's going to give them the money. That's going to give them a good job. No, it's God that's the one that gives us the power to get wealth. Right. And if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. If we seek his wisdom, if we seek his instruction, if we seek his plan, we'll be found 10 times better than all the heathen. Even if we go to the same school, even if we go to the same institutions and we're being instructed in the same ways, if we apply his methods, if we apply his ways, then we'll get the skills necessary to be able to be successful. He's the one that will give you the power to make wealth. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the fact that you give us the ability to go out and get money, to work hard. I thank you that you've given us so many examples in the Bible of how we can learn, how we can grow in knowledge, and how we can get skills to be successful in this life. Not just spiritually, but even just in our daily life. How your word just applies in all areas of life, for all knowledge, for all learning. I pray that people would just realize the importance of reading and writing, and getting in their Bible, and just being instructed from the words of God. Thank you for all that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.